Good morning. It's good to be here. I was asked to have devotions this morning. See a lot of unfamiliar faces. As I know I've been gone for a long time. So just for the benefit of those who don't know who I am, I'm Jordan Youngman. I'm Jim and Sarah's oldest son. My wife, my family, and I have been in Northern Youth Programs, Dryden, Ontario, for about 8 years now. We're home for Christmas, and it's good to be here. So in just sharing a bit of devotions here, I think I'm going to take maybe the opportunity to tell a little bit about Graydon, our son. I know you've prayed for us, and you've heard some of the story of what we went through with him. So I'll share a little bit about that, and I'd also like to just share a bit about NYP, Northern Youth, and how our past year has been. It's been different, as I imagine the rest of you, your year has also been a different year. Nobody expected what has happened. Graydon is now 17 months old. He was born with, it's called choanoatresia. Basically, in simple words, he couldn't breathe through his nose. And as we learned, babies, up until they're about 6 weeks old, they don't think to breathe through their mouth. They only know how to breathe through their nose. So he almost died. He was life-flighted to a hospital 4 hours away, four-hour drive. We spent the next 2.5 months there with him, four surgeries, and just lots of tears and praying later. He's home now, and in all respects, he seems to be very normal. I know with some of the things that the doctors told us could potentially happen, we haven't seen any of that. Things like hearing problems or seeing problems or balance, we haven't seen any of that. He's walking, he's talking, he hears us very well, he sees well, and it's a miracle to see where he's at now and to think about where he was, how he was when he was born. So thank you all for your prayers for us. God has worked miracles in our lives and in his life just to see him where he's at today. It's humbling to see God working in ways like that. As far as Northern Youth Programs, we are doing well. It's been a different year. We've had to cancel pretty much all of our ministry programs simply because ministering to people is interacting with people, and the government has really put a limit on physical interaction with people. So we didn't do any summer camps this year. We didn't send any people up to the reserves like we normally do. So early on in the year, thinking in April, I believe it was, we got connected with Samaritan's Purse of Canada. And through them, we were able to obtain a big stash of masks and cleaning supplies and gloves, as well as through a couple other organizations that we partner with. We ended up with about 6,000 Bibles, as well as other ministry and personal literature, spiritual literature, Bible studies and that kind of stuff that we ended up distributing around the 42 First Nations communities in northwestern Ontario, as well as, I believe there's 13 in northern Quebec. That was kind of my focus this spring and early summer, was packing up the airplane, sending stuff out. And during that time, it was like we could get into those places by permission only. So I had to call up the chief, the band, which is the governing body of the First Nations, and they needed to give us permission to land there. And so it was often just land, drop the stuff off, Oftentimes we didn't even see anybody there. People were very scared and afraid of what might happen. So that was kind of my summer, spring and summer. And as far as what the rest of the organization was doing, just kind of, trying to figure out what we can do and doing what we can. And some of that was just more personal one-on-one visits rather than large groups of people. There were a couple opportunities that we had that we were able to take that we wouldn't have been able to had we been doing our normal summer schedule, things like ministering to a community that had a couple suicides, young girls that took their life. We were able to go in there and spend time with the youth, encourage them. There's a lot of work projects that happened this summer that wouldn't have normally gotten done. So our buildings and grounds are in good shape, just taking the time to tighten the loose screws and patch the little holes and touch up paint and that kind of stuff that often gets overlooked when we're very busy. It's also amazing to see how God has blessed NYP financially. I know many people lost their jobs, got pay cuts, hour cuts, and God has provided in amazing ways for us at NYP. We've had people generously donate, and even above what we normally have, and oftentimes, our income to expenditure doesn't meet up until about the end of December. But this year, we are operating out of a surplus for almost the whole year, which is just a miracle. We've never seen this before. So I know God has moved in people's hearts to give, and I know you guys give to us, and we're very grateful for that. So thank you. And I just want to, from NYP and from myself, thank you as a church for your support, your prayers, and your financial support. It means a lot, and it's a part, you're taking part in the work that we're doing by supporting us. As just a few verses of scripture, I'd like to read in 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. So turn there in your Bibles if you have them to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'd like to start reading in verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort also. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. These verses especially meant a lot to me. A year ago, when we were in the hospital with Graydon, the God of all mercies who comforts us in our affliction, and even just throughout this past year, the many hard things that I'm sure all of us had to deal with in just loss of dreams and loss of plans, loss of visions, whatever it might be. This is has been a year of loss. And yet God afflicts us and He provides comfort. And the reason why God allows this to happen is so that we can reach out to those around us who are hurting. I have a much greater understanding for people whose children are in the hospital now that I never would have had we not spent those 2.5 months in the hospital with Graydon. You know, God brings these trials, these hard times into your life to prepare you to comfort other people. And so that's my encouragement to you this morning, is to just rely on God, first of all, for comfort for the hard times, and then just to look around you and see who is hurting. How can I reach out to those hurting people and extend to them the same comfort that God extended to me? So let's stand for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that we can be gathered together this morning in your house to worship you. Thank you that you're the God of comfort. And even though we experience hard things, we experience loss, we experience grief, Lord, you're right there comforting us. Lord, give us eyes to see those around us that are hurting and be able to reach out to them and provide grace as you have given us grace. Provide comfort as you have given us comfort. Lord, we long to see you face to face. We're looking forward to the day when you return to take us home. Lord, may your Spirit move and work among us as we worship this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Let's bow for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you again for another day you blessed us with. Thank you for the group here that we can gather from many different places to worship together, worship you. Bless those as well from here that are elsewhere. Give them safety. Give them a good time as well with their friends and families. Be with Lauren as he brings us your word this morning, that our hearts can be open, that we can be attentive and listen to what you would have for us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
I would like to welcome each one to our service here this morning. It's good to see you here this morning, gathered together to worship with us. Good to see families together enjoying this time of year. You know, the season we're in right now, there's two events that we celebrate every year. We think of Christmas and we think of New Year's. It kind of creates a season of holiday, I guess. And it's kind of a time of reflection as I was thinking about it and meditating on what I wanted to share today. You know, you get together for Christmas, and in my family anyway, and there's usually a lot of, you know, looking back, reflections. When us siblings get together again, there's, you know, a lot of inside jokes that the in-laws probably roll their eyes at and are like, what's so funny about that? And your siblings remind you of stories that you know, or you're not sure that happened, but they're sure they did. They're convinced that they happened. And so it's a time of looking back and reflecting. And also, as we think about the new year, it's a time of looking forward. And I was blessed by Jordan's devotional as he was reflecting over their past year or a little longer with their son as he was in the hospital. I was blessed by that, and it fit very well with what I wanted to share today. And also, Bill, as he shared the testimony that we can stand on the promises of God. Before we do get into the message, I want to thank those of you that have generously shared with our family. We feel very blessed to be a part of this church family here at Crystal Valley, and I bless you for sharing with us, and I pray that God will bless you as well. You know, first of all, as I reflect on Christmas, you know, what it means to us, you know, God, in His great love, His mercy, and His love, sent His only Son as a baby to Mary and Joseph there in Bethlehem. And God fulfilled His promise. As Bill said, it was a promise that He made and He kept to us. And I was really blessed by that we can stand on those promises that God has given us. God fulfilled the promise He had made to Adam and Eve way back in the garden at the beginning of time. You know, when they fell, they sinned, God promised that the seed of Eve would bruise the head of the serpent. He promised it to Abraham. He promised it to the children of Israel through the prophets. And then finally, in the fullness of time, the angels proclaimed the glad tidings of joy to the shepherds gathered in the country outside the town of Bethlehem. God is faithful in keeping His promise of a Redeemer. And then also, as we think about the last year and the things that have happened, it has definitely been an eventful year. It has been a year that most has brought a lot of new things for us. But I'm grateful, you know, that we can say that God has been with us. You know, even in my personal life, He's taken me way out of my comfort zone. He stretched me in ways that I never, you know, anticipated. But God was there. God was faithful. Also in our communities and even the world at large, we experience things that may seem unsettling to us. You know, we witnessed the spread of the virus that spread quickly from the other side of the world, even into our very communities. This has caused this big disruptions to the way our lives have been lived for the last many years. The way we do business, the way we shop, the way we work, our recreational activities, and it's caused many of us to cancel plans. We've seen civil unrest, we've seen riots, protests, and even the change of leadership in our country. And so this can seem very unsettling. You know, maybe we feel afraid of what is to come. But, you know, God is faithful. He's going to be there for us. So as we come to the end of this year, we're eager to turn over a new page. We're ready for a fresh start. But recently I came across the meme that made me think a little bit. It had a picture of a guy that had a scared face, and it said the guy that was sent forward to 2021 is coming back to 2020. You know, he's asking for 2020 back again. So maybe 2021 is maybe scarier. Who knows? We don't know that. We don't know what the future holds. But as I was thinking about all this, you know, the thought that struck me and the word that kept coming to my mind as I thought about all of this was that God is faithful. You know, God has provided for us richly even through all this. And I was really blessed by the testimony that Jordan shared is how they have been so richly blessed. And I can say in my life, I have been richly blessed. And I know that going into the new year, we will be blessed. Maybe it will not be in the way we anticipate, but we will be blessed. So this morning I'd like to reflect on a few ways that God shows His faithfulness to us. So I've chosen five things that God, how He reveals His faithfulness to us. And the first one is He's faithful to keep His promises. You know, when God gives us the promise, we can trust on Him that He will fulfill it. We can rely on Him that He will keep that which He has promised. You know, His promises aren't like the ones we make. We're just a frail human being. We don't, you know, we do the best we can to keep our promises, but we don't order the universe. We don't hold the powers of the world in our hands, but God does. We can't see the future, and so sometimes we have to change our plans. Sometimes we have to change the promises that we made. But God isn't like that. He sees the whole picture. He orders the path of the universe. He holds the worlds in the palm of His hand. And so things that come up don't surprise Him. They don't keep Him from keeping His promises. And if we miss out on the good promises of God, it's because of our choices. We have strayed away from Him. So the scripture I want to look at this morning pertaining to God keeping His promises is in Joshua 23, verses 14 to 16. The background of this scripture is when Joshua was coming to the end of his life and he was talking to the children of Israel before he died. Joshua 23, verses 14 to 16. "And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Ye know in all your hearts and in your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, So shall the Lord bring upon you all the evil things until he have destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly off the good land which he hath given you. So Joshua is reminding the children of Israel here how that God had promised them many good things. He had promised them the land of Israel. He had promised this land to Abraham. And down through the generations, again and again, they had been reminded of this promise. And then as they left the land of Egypt and traveled through the wilderness, you know, they had been promised this land of plenty. The spies had went to scout it out and saw that it was a rich land. And because of discontentment, because of grumbling, that generation missed out on the great promise of God. But these people had received the promise. They had received the promise that God had given them. And, you know, they were experiencing the goodness of God. They had seen that God was good as his word. And they were experiencing it. And Joshua was reminding of them to not forget this. But in verse 15, he also reminds them that God has a different promise. If they do not abide in him, they will be taken out of the land. They will be destroyed off of their land. So God has good promises, or promises of good things for us that we can claim, but there's also promises as we disobey him. God also promised a redeemer, and we see that promise fulfilled today as we think about Christmas and we're celebrating the birth of Jesus. You know, Errol brought out a fact recently that I had never considered before. He said that he's glad that, you know, Christmas happens at the dark time of year. And as I was thinking about that, I was glad, you know, I'm glad that it happens in December. It's something bright in the month of December to remember the birth of Jesus Christ. But I just want to take a little bit of time to think about God promising us a Redeemer and how that is the promise that he has given us. You know, man, if we go back to Genesis, man was created the kind of the jewel of the creation. As God created everything, God had created all these amazing things. He had created the light, the dry land, things that grew on the land, herbs, trees, and fruit. He made the animals, the birds, and the fish, and all the living things. All these amazing things. And then he said, let's make man something in our own image, something in our own likeness. So he created Adam and Eve, someone that he could have relationship. Here was a part of his creation that he could commune with. He could have a relationship with them. God had created a wonderful masterpiece here on the earth. But then a seed of doubt was placed in Eve's mind. All the serpent did was ask a simple question. Is that really what God said? And she started to question God. You know, is this really what God, you know, did he really want the best for me? Even though they had all these amazing things around them. Adam and Eve had a perfect world. We know, we say if we lived in a perfect world, we would do this or that. They did live in a perfect world. That was reality for them. They had a perfect world. But they chose the one thing that they were not to partake of. So I think we need to think about things. We need to maybe question some things. But I think we need to be very careful when doubts start to creep in. When questions come, be very careful that you're not questioning God. You know, we can quickly go down a path that will lead us away from God. And then God promised that day that there would come a time when there would come a Redeemer. God started to lay the groundwork for his Son to come to this broken world so that he could deliver us. Throughout the Old Testament, there was many times that he made these promises to his followers that he was sending deliverance. He spoke to Abraham, to Moses, to Samuel, and Isaiah, as well as others. And today we experience the fulfillment of that promise. Jesus came, born as a humble human in a cattle shed. You know, that as I was thinking about that this week, you know, that's very real for me because I work in a cattle barn every day pretty much, and the thought of laying one of my, you know, newborn children in the cattle trough is just, it's repulsive to me, and it's just very humbling to realize that that's what Jesus was willing to do for each one of us. Jesus was willing to humble himself that much so that I could have eternal life. And so I'm grateful that God was willing to keep that promise. I'm grateful that Jesus was willing to be a part of that promise so that we could have eternal life. So the next one I want to look at is faithful to forgive. Jesus did not stay the baby in the manger, but he lived a sinless life and went all the way to the cross to pay our penalty for sin. We owed a big debt that we couldn't pay, and he offered to pardon us and forgive us. In 1 John 1, it says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Now God has provided a way that relationship that was broken in the garden can be restored. We can have a renewed relationship with him if we are willing to follow the instructions here in 1 John 1. You know, we need to confess our sins. Confessing is agreeing with, you know, God already knows what we have done, and we just need to agree with him that that's what we have. We need to acknowledge it, that we have sinned. It is up to us to acknowledge it. You know, as we sin, we are unfaithful to God, and the thing that I really am blessed with as I thought about this is he is never unfaithful to us. God is always faithful. We can trust in him. We can rely on him. You know, we're in a world surrounded by human beings that make mistakes that are unfaithful to us, but God will never be unfaithful. And God is just. Justice has already been served. Jesus already paid the penalty for our sin. And God has promised if we accept this free gift, he will remove our sins. You know, as far as the east is from the west, there's no limit to how far God will remove our sins. And then the last part of the verse there, it says, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we can get hung up and think, you know, my sin is too big. I'm too big of a sinner. But God will take them all away. He will cleanse us of all of them. In Isaiah 1:18 it says, "Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be washed whiter than snow." Even though they're brilliant purple or red, God can make them as white as the snow we see in the wintertime. And I think a good story that illustrates this is in John 15, where we read the story of the prodigal son. You know, we can leave the goodness of God and seek after the fleeting pleasures of the world for a time, but God is there willing to take us back as we come back to him. This story is a powerful illustration of how God loves and deeply cares for us, and he's eagerly waiting for us to return. You know, in John 15, verses 12 and 14, we see the focus of the younger son was on short-term gratification. You know, that's so easy to do. We focus on what's right in front of us and forget to think about the long term. He wasn't taking his father or his brother's well-being into consideration. You know, as we focus on ourselves, we lose sight of what's really important. You know, sons and daughters of God, we're called to lay aside our own selfish desires. And as Philippians 2:3 tells us, we are to esteem others better than ourselves. And if we follow the footsteps of the younger son and live a life that is self-centered, we will go down a path that will not bring satisfaction to our lives, but emptiness and loneliness. And you know, that's what he's discovered. He came to the end of himself in that farmer's barn with the pigs. He found that he was lonely and destitute and wanted to return to his father's house. You know, it's just so, as you know, the father was willing to let him go. You know, our father, he gives us a choice. It's our choice what we would choose. But thankfully, the younger son, he was willing to acknowledge that. He was willing to acknowledge he had made a mistake. You know, he came back, and his father was there eagerly waiting for us, for him. And that's how God is. He's standing there waiting with open arms to welcome us back. You know, so I praise God that, you know, we have a Father standing with open arms, welcoming us home if we confess our sins, forgiving us, forgiving our failures. He binds up our wounds, healing our broken hearts, and then we can become a part of His family again. And so I'm thankful that God is faithful to forgive. The third one I want to look at is faithful in truth. You know, today I think the question that Pilate asked Jesus, what is truth, is very real. There's so much that we can read, so much that we can see, and it feels some days like, what is truth? If you want to find a viewpoint that supports your argument, just spend enough of time on Google and you'll probably find it. But I'm grateful that God's Word isn't like that. It's always the same. It's true. It will never change. And we can be confident that when we go back time after time, it's still the same. God hasn't changed because of time or because of culture. It's the same from generation to generation. You know, the people in the first century that were reading these letters, the letters are still the same today. Matthew 23:35 tells us that heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. All that we see around us today will be gone one day. You know, someday this building will be gone. We will be gone. All the kingdoms of this world will be gone. The systems of government will be gone. All this will disappear, but God's word is sure. It's the foundation that we need to build on. If we don't build on that foundation, our labor is in vain. Psalms 33:11 tells us, the counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of His heart from generation to generation. So I'm blessed again and again as, you know, as I go through life and we face a problem or face something in our life, you know, I've gone to the Scripture again and again and it never grows old. It's the same. Those principles in the Scripture still apply today. They're relevant and they're unchanging. And as I was thinking about that, I was thinking that this brings a lot of stability to our lives. You know, just imagine for a moment that you didn't have the Scripture to base your decisions on. You didn't have the Scripture to go back to fall back onto for guidance, for wisdom, encouraging, and comfort, and the instability that would bring to your life. So I'm thankful today that God is faithful in truth. His truth never changes. The fourth one I want to look at is faithful to keep us. And for that, I want to read Psalms chapter 121. It's thought that David may have been traveling as he wrote this psalm. They're not sure, but I just want you to think about a traveler in the Old Testament times as we think about this chapter and as we read through it. Psalms 121, starting at verse 1. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from evil, he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming from this time forth, even forevermore. You know, as we have it very nice as we travel in today's world. Recently, I was, one of the children had a book or something. I was reading about the Erie Canal and how that cut travel time from Buffalo to Albany or the New York City very significantly. I don't remember the time frame, but I think instead of 2 weeks, it was like 5 days. And now we drive it in maybe 5 hours. And so we don't realize the hazards of travel like the people here in Psalms 121. So as we travel through life, we need to lift our gaze above the temporal things of the world and focus on the sustaining grace of our Lord. In verse 1, he says we need to lift, he lifts his eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help. We lift up our eyes to God. We focus on things that are long-term, that are from our Lord, not what's right in front of us. As we focus, shift our focus away from the troubles and distractions, the cares and heartaches of life, the riches, the politics, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, and all those things, we shift our eyes away from those and the things of God, we will move toward His kingdom. I think many of you probably have heard the concept of driving a car, and if you're going around a corner and you start to slide, and you focus on the telephone pole by the corner, most likely you're going to hit it. As you focus on something, you're going to hit it. So I think if we focus our eyes on God, we will move toward Him. And that concept also works if you're on a walking on a balance beam. You need to focus on something on the other side of the room to keep your footsteps sure. And so I think we need to keep our eyes lifted up to Christ, lifted up to God as we travel through life. It also says, in verse 3, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. As we look to Jesus, He will bring stability to our steps. He will bring surety to our travels. We can trust on Him to guide us. Psalms 37:23 says, The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in all His ways. Also, in the latter part of the chapter, it talks about God not slumbering. God is always attentive to our needs. He's not going to fall asleep on the job. He's the shepherd that watches over us continually, and He doesn't neglect our needs. You know, maybe as we think about this, as close as we can come to that as a mother, you know, I'll lay in bed sleeping all night and never wake up once. And, you know, Alicia will wake up time after time. She's very sensitive to the needs of the children, to a baby's cry. But God, that's kind of how God is. Although He doesn't sleep, He's there very attentive to the cries that we have. He is right there. It says at our right hand. He's right beside us, walking with us. He protects us from the blazing, fiery trials and the stealthy attacks that come in the cover of darkness, and He will preserve us from us all, from them all. Not some of the evils, but all the evils. Nothing overwhelms Him, nothing surprises Him. Now, I like the idea here of preservation. You know, as we preserve something, usually, the example I was thinking about is we preserve meat. Meat is a very unstable product. If you leave a piece of chicken laying on your counter, it'll get nasty and nobody would enjoy it in a couple days. We take meat, we take chicken meat, we put that in a jar or can it, and it can sit on your counter in the same environment, but it's preserved. It provides a good, nutritious meal. And that's how we are in our lives. You know, sometimes we have to go through a fiery trial, maybe like some of the trials of the past year, to preserve us, to keep us, so that we can be a better person. The Lord Himself guards our souls, and who can defeat us with Him as our protector? My mind went to John 17, verses 14 to 15, as Jesus was praying for His disciples and praying for us today. He said that He asked that God would keep them from the evil. He didn't say that He would take us out of it. So let's not expect the evil in this present world will go away. But we praise God that as we surrender to Him, He will keep us from it. And so I'm thankful that God takes care of us. He protects us and He keeps us. The last one I want to look at is faithful to provide. There's a couple different things I would like to look at that He provides. The first one is in Matthew 6:31-34, where He provides for our daily needs. Matthew 6:31-34. Therefore take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient is the day to the evil thereof. In this scripture, Jesus is telling us not to worry about our daily provisions, and I know that's very hard for us to do. That's what we spend most of our lives doing, is providing for our daily needs. We work for our food, our clothing, a house to live in. We spend a lot of time on those things, but don't worry about those things. God will take care of them for you. He says, don't imitate the Gentiles or the pagans, but seek after the kingdom of God. If you seek after the kingdom of God, He will take care of you. It's like somebody said in Sunday school, maybe He won't bless us in the way that we expect to be blessed, but He will bless us. And so sometimes we have a little hard time being content with those provisions, but we do need to be content with the God things that God has provided for us. Second, He provides rest for our souls. You know, here on earth, God gives us peace. He gives us rest. In Matthew 11:29-30, He tells us to come unto Him and He will give us rest. You know, His yoke is easy and His burden is light. And as I was thinking about the concept of a yoke and God giving us rest, I thought of the yoke of an oxen. You know, you have a double yoke. You have two oxen pulling together. And I'm thankful that God, that Jesus, takes that yoke. He helps. He takes the second spot in the yoke, and He helps with the trials and troubles of life. And He tells us that, we're to, in Peter, I think it is, where He tells us to cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. He wants to take the burdens of life and help us carry them. He gives us rest, and He gives us peace. And the opposite of that is the yoke of Satan is like the yoke that where you carry water, or maybe you've seen the guys carrying maple syrup with a yoke. You're on your own, and He wants to weigh you down. He's not there helping you carry that weight. So the yoke of Christ is an easy yoke. It's a great yoke. And then lastly, He gives us eternal rest. You know, ultimately, He gives us that eternal rest, and that is something that no one can take away from us. In John 14:3, He says, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you to myself, and that where I am, you may be also. And so I'm glad to claim that wonderful promise that He has gone to prepare a place, an eternal home for us. You know, that's an eternal home that cannot be taken away from us. It doesn't matter what happens in this year or next year. That promise cannot be taken away from us. We choose to either keep it or give it up. It's our choice. Recently, we were at the calling hours of Alicia's brother Nicholas. His mother-in-law passed away from cancer. Now, we attended her calling hours. They had the paper written out of the things she observed as she was passing from this life to her heavenly home. You know, she talked about the beautiful flowers, seeing a river so clear she could see the bottom, seeing Jesus with the wounds on His side. And it really challenged me, and it really, made me anxious to see that eternal rest that God has prepared for us. It made me anxious to see Jesus and thank Him for all of those wonderful things He has done for us. So in closing, as I think about God, His faithfulness, how the wonderful ways He is faithful to us, and I'm just tremendously grateful that I can say He has been faithful to me in my life. And as I look at the coming year, I can say with confidence that He will continue to be faithful. And some days it's not easy, sometimes it's hard, but He will be faithful. So the question I ask myself is, will I be faithful to God? And that's the question I would like to leave you with this morning, is will you be faithful to Him? As you face the challenges that come your way, will you be true to the One who loves you without limit, provides for your needs of your heart, and guards your steps as you walk His path? Only you can answer that question, and I trust we can all say together that yes, we will be faithful to our loving Heavenly Father. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before You at the close of this service. We thank You that You have been faithful to us. We thank You that we can claim the promises that You have made to us, and that you will be with us in the coming year or coming years, that you will be with us, regard our steps, you will guide our ways, and you will bring us to our eternal home with you. We just pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You have a song, Marvin?
Let's stand and sing 57 in the song of the Faith of Grace.